This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Listening to the QPR fan show on Love Sport Radio, aka the Chaz and Gaz show. We are back, baby, as we are every week, Monday 9 to 10, talking everything where QPR are concerned. Looking at the win on the weekend, thank you. Yes, please. First win in a 2 goals, 3 points. And a clean sheet. Don't you just love to see it? Talking all about that, Lee Cook will be joining us. What a packed show we have for you tonight. He'll be giving us his take on the R's season so far. Then we'll be looking at the two games. It is Birmingham. It is Barnsley. James Jenkinson from Birmingham City Fan TV will be joining us. Such a packed show. And it gets even busier. Why? Because you can have your say tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 7020 558 and you can have your say and be involved in tonight's show. Well, some may say Preston. They've lost 4 on the spin. Well, they have after that QPR defeat. They're in free fall. What is going wrong? And I say Preston. They're beating Fulham 2-0. Don't you just love to see it, Gareth?
Oh, yes. Very much so. Good evening, Charles. How
good
are you?
Good evening, mate. How are you, more importantly? The star
well,
of the
good.
Show, the main man
oh,
is here.
Easy. Easy. Yeah, I'm very well. It's a really good performance and win. It's a functional performance, which we don't often see from QPR. And it's kind of put a few ghosts to rest around Warburton, around Lumley, around Leicester. Well, not around Leicester as much, but yeah, it's certainly an improvement from where we come from and silenced a few people.
Yeah, absolutely, because not only, I mentioned it, you know, as we started, you know, 2 goals, 3 points, clean sheet, but it felt like a performance where you did tick a few of those boxes, you know, because we was here last week, we're talking about Warburton and, you know, need to give him a little bit more time, fans tweeting in, getting a little bit frustrated. It was the first time QPR have registered a clean sheet in 23 league games, and there was a little bit of noise, whispers maybe about the manager. You spoke about Lumley there, you know, he was praised after the game, he made a brilliant save
blinders
towards
save.
The end of it. World-class save, Mark Warburton said. Don't know if it was a world-class save, but it was a good save.
It was QPR, yeah.
It was a good save. It just felt like there was a few, I don't want to say cobwebs that were blown away, but just a few things that came out from this great feel-good vibes, if I could say that, Gareth.
Yeah, feel-good from like a very functional performance, as I say. So
Professional,
I think it was. I think Easy came out and said that we caught them off guard a little bit. We played a diamond in midfield, so Cameron was able to cover, and he did that with Leicester very, very well when Leicester pushed on, followed his man, like dogged the player around. So that worked really well. You know, they couldn't contain Easy at times. He's just every week he's improving. He's just becoming a greater player game by game. So I don't know how long we're going to have him, which is the other side of it. But while he's down there and the penalties are just, my son Dexter was sitting next to me and he goes, he's done that 3 times now, Dad. Just that stuttering penalty. And we were just like laughing because it was just, yeah. So what do you do with that? That stutter, he hasn't broken his stride. He's in the lawless of the game. Keeper's gone. So he just slots it. And it's just a very composed, classy young player. He's just turned 21. So it's a privilege to see him put a team like Preston, especially, to the sword, especially with our record against them and especially how they go about the game of football with, I won't mention Julian's word because he's not here, so we won't do any swearing at the start of the show, but they're darker arts. And yeah, I say for Christmas, Ben Pearson at centre mid, he needs a referee's kit because he obviously wants to be a referee. I don't know why he's playing football. I was going to chuck him a whistle or something because the way he was
auditioning for Foot Locker.
Oh my gosh, dear me. He just was not non-stop in the referee's ear. And it's just this little bit like, yeah, we do that a little bit. But if I was the ref, I would just book these players and just get them out of your ear.
It is difficult, but you mentioned there, you know, Easy obviously getting both the goals. Just QPR back to what we saw at the first half of the season. And I can't take all your credit, you know. We make notes for the show and you've labelled it brilliant, because we speak about Warburton not having a plan B. Plan B is to try plan A harder. Well, apparently it's called Welcome to Plan Z.
Yeah.
Diamonds Are Forever, which
go.
I absolutely love. Title of the show, I think. In
I
the
think
bank.
It is. Well, I won't talk about my other title because you haven't got that one yet. We'll come on to that in the break. It's a bit boring. It's like, you know, plan B is do plan A better, and it's just a little bit like, we've heard it now.
We talk about it all the time. Sorry, Gareth.
He has changed it. He's changed formation. He's changed team selection. It hasn't always worked, but he has tried something different. Mm. Four at the back, five at the back, wing backs, two up front, one up front. Hugo starting his own, Wells starting his own. He's tried different things, and after 20 games, I've seen lots of different plans. And yeah, it's a little bit jested, the plan Z. We've got to plan Z already, but he did have a different plan there. He allowed Lumley to go long and to hit Hugo, which worked really, really well, because it got Preston. I said on the show last week, the thing that worried me about their West Brom game is how much they harried and hassled and pressed high up the pitch. I thought, if we're trying to play out, we're not good enough, and we're going to get caught by that. So they recognised that. They've obviously worked on it. And it wasn't an aimless lump. It was a lump to a player that is going to cause trouble. And Hugo got fouled so much as well and didn't get it. But it just got us out. And then when you were in the other half and the lights are bright, say Samuel and Easy on the ball, then I wouldn't like to be defending against that.
Well, you said it last week. You just said, look, not all goalkeepers can, you know, play this tiki-taka football, plan that from the back. You know, you can't do it if it's not you. We finally saw, we don't want to now go overboard after last week, but we saw the benefits of him not just playing out and actually just, you know, getting it straight upfield and seeing what happens from that.
Yeah, definitely. And it kind of works. You know, you play your percentages sometimes. We've been very critical as fans and on the message boards about the mistakes. And, you know, me personally as well, I thought, you know, they're making mistakes as Championship professional footballers that I wouldn't expect to see at that level. But I think it's around asking them to do certain things that they can't do. And you need to play to certain strengths. And, you know, if you're, you know, a forward player in the other half and you make a mistake by losing the ball, so what? You can probably recover. You can probably get back in your shape, and you're not likely to concede a goal. Really, the counter-attacking isn't that ruthless in the Championship that's going to concede a goal by losing a ball in the opposition half. If you lose it, like we did against Fulham in the final third, and you're out of shape, well, lo and behold, you're going to concede goals and you're going to lose games. So it's about playing those percentages sometimes, not just hitting it long all the time. I think Lumley will still play out from the back. QPR will still play out from the back. You've got to think about getting Barbe back in there, who is the best ball-playing centre-half in the club. If he can get back in there ahead of Leicester and Hall, if they continue to perform. And now they've got the platform and the clean sheet behind them. So they've got that monkey off their back. They've got the clean sheet. And yeah, it was just all very pleasing. It just ticked a lot of boxes.
It was very pleasing. I'm glad you've come in with a smile in your face, a spring back in your step. We mentioned, you know,
that was a nightmare last week, wasn't I?
No,
terrible.
You're always on good form, my man. Well, we mentioned last week, you know, there's a little bit of stubbornness. Brentford fans, excuse me, were saying that he doesn't change. Forest fans, because you've played them recently, we've had them on opposition view. How nice is it? Maybe not just from the outside noise, but Mark Warburton, he has had time away from the game. He's back now, you know. He is someone that gets tarred with that brush. He doesn't change it. But we were seeing difference in QPR this weekend.
Yeah, I think any manager worth their salt now, it's about kind of being iterative and learning the whole time from the game, because the game's always changing. I think you're seeing that right at the top level of Man City now. I think they've played so long in a certain way and said, we're just good enough to play. Like Barcelona do, when it comes to a point when the system and the styles change a little bit, and they put systems against systems, formation against formation, and it kind of gets a little bit caught out, and it's like, well, what next? What can you do? So, I mean, they're the clubs that haven't got, for me, Man City, what's their plan B? You know, couldn't criticising Warburton. I'm not putting us at City's level, don't get me wrong.
You did.
But I did. Stoke City, maybe. But I think he's shown that. And you've got to play what's in front of you. You've got to play with the assets that you've got in the team. And he's done that. And yeah, I think it's not about we're now going to go on a massive run. We've got to be mindful of that there's winnable games ahead. But
It was nice to end the clean sheet.
It was nice to get the W. It was nice to do all those sort of things in front of the home crowd. I think it was one of the most effective home performances, although we've won against Luton, we've won against Blackburn. I think it was really effective, and it's really good to silence a team, as I say, like Preston, who's got the jinx over us, like Ben Pearson, and like Alex Neil, who is so ungracious after the game. Him and Pearson both said, well, they weren't very special, weren't they? And then I always think, well, if we weren't very special, you lost 2-0 to something not very special. What does that say about you?
Well, I always think that, but I want to bring up Alex Neil because he moaned a little bit about the soft penalty, saying it killed the game for him. And I want to bring it up, your because I know you'll be honest, your penalty thoughts, because we spoke about the penalty last week. I think it was the Derby game, and you said penalty, and Julian said, oof, I thought it was a little bit soft. Alex Neil's moaning about another penalty in a QPR game. What did you make of it?
Instant reaction was pen. From where we was, I sit at the opposite end of the ground. But it looked
right
like
finger.
But it looked no. What's bringing Arsenal into it? Come on, man. Who? He's gone. Get over it. Get over it. You've already done your other manager in already. We'll talk about QPR links with Arsenal manager later in the show, folks. But yeah, I thought initially it looked like a pen. Then there was a big debate around, was he offside, which he wasn't because it came off a Preston player. Was it a red card? None of them things happened. But Julian, who sits a lot closer to it, literally behind the goal and above, so I had a good view, said that it looked like he kind of fell over, Pew. It looked like it kind of fell over. And I didn't even see a very clear video replay of it, if I'm honest with you. Mm.
So, splinters.
Yeah. Well, no, it looked like a pen in like real time, which they no VAR.
True. Do you want VAR? I don't know if I've asked. Do you want VAR? Because loads of managers are calling for it.
What, to follow me around to make on my decisions?
Yeah, please, because I don't know what some of the very questionable. But Lee Bowyer's mentioned it. Other clubs are mentioning it. Fan shows we do here saying, oh, well, this wouldn't have happened. Well, as you rightly point out, it did happen. There is no VAR. Whether it's real time, you know, VAR time, slow time, these are the decisions. Maybe it's only before long we will see it come down into the Championship.
100%.
So, you want it?
I think it can be good for the game if it's ironed out and the wrinkles are sorted out. And like they apply it in rugby union and rugby league, where it's a lot more effective, sharper, and not as contentious, then yeah, why not? We live in a modern world, a game evolves, but there's still things to be done with it, aren't there? There's still things that shouldn't be discussed, and there's stuff that should be discussed. And it might even be how you use VAR. It might even be like things like challenges, you know, using, you know, you get one or something. I know these are kind of like wacky ideas that people will say, purists will go, no way.
No, but I think there needs to be something like
something,
that.
There's something, whether the skipper does it, whether the manager does it.
There's something missing.
There is something missing at the moment. And it's just, it's a little bit too much, you know.
I want like a Hawkeye tennis system where we'll go, for the decision.
If it'd be that quick. You should be
the punters will love
offside.
It.
You should be able to do that for offside. Yeah, maybe.
Get them involved in
maybe
the stadium.
That's the problem.
This is the problem.
Charlie, maybe that's the problem, is that they can't see what's going on in the stadium.
I think this is
so
the problem.
So they're just there on the unknown. It's like, celebrate a goal, now it's ruled out. Now we look like idiots. You know, there's no goal, now there's a goal. Now it's like, oh gosh, sort of thing. So maybe they're not involved with it, and it's a spectator sport, isn't it? So you're right, tennis is a beautiful example of that. And not sure how much in rugby, but maybe in cricket as well. So yeah, where we get to it, yeah, in the Championship, modern game, it's a lot of money involved. We've got the telly, we've got the camera angles. We should be doing it.
Maybe it will be making its way to the Championship sooner rather than later. Let's talk about Hugo and Wells. Both started, but who brings more to the team?
Well, I've just had a pre-match chat with Gav, who sadly can't make it tonight. But he's very big on Wells and bringing him into the club. I like Naki Wells. I think he's a clinical finisher when he gets in that position. I don't think his build-up play is the best. He's made a couple of rickets, you could say, and he gave that goal away against Middlesbrough. And sometimes he's a bit careless in possession in the wrong areas. Hugo is never going to join Mensa. He misses quite a few, but he
pure Hugo.
but he is a bugger to play against. I would not like to play against him because he's at it. He's against you. He's strong. He's big. He's physical.
Bit of a beast.
He's a bit of a beast, and he will score you your goal, but he will miss you more than that. But I think sometimes when you've got those players behind you, that the attacking threat we've got, you need to get into those areas, and I think he gets you up there. Whereas Wells will drop in and get the ball. Hugo will stay as high
as he
can.
They're different players as well. I know the question is still, one will bring more to the team, but yeah, they have different styles.
And you don't want to start shoehorning in Wells into like that three behind the front man as well, because it's not his role. Yeah. They did play together Saturday.
No, I know, but could we see
diamonds,
more of this?
If the
plan
diamond
Z.
works, plan Z plus one, I think it's, if this diamond works and he sticks to it, then maybe, but I think it'll chop and change where he needs to when personnel become available. You know, Jeff Cameron played in there. Jeff Cameron's probably not going to play every game. So I wouldn't rely on Don Ball to do the covering job that Cameron did. So it's all them things that impact the strikers.
Yeah. They certainly do. Diamonds the new tea for Christmas. Forever. Well, it's on the Christmas list. Something else is on the Christmas list, but we're definitely getting it. Lee Cook is on there and he's joining us next.
We've all got one and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with a range of things podcast. Lone representative tonight is the man, though, Gareth Dixon. We were just talking about a brilliant professional victory on the weekend, beating Preston 2-0. We're going to be looking at the games because they do come thick and fast. Birmingham on, tomorrow night, Barnsley on the weekend. But now, though, something of a special one because we are joined by Lee Cook, former QPR player. Lee, it's a real pleasure and a highlight to get you on the show tonight. Thank you for giving us a little bit of your time. What have you made of QPR season so far?
I've generally been impressed, to be honest. The way we've played at the start, you know, we're not, you know, bringing a Beere through and some other young boys. It was always going to be, you know, I wasn't too excited at in the summer until probably the final day. Made three signings. I thought we might have a chance now of actually staying up. That's how worried I actually was. Then once the season got going, the way we started playing, you know, playing nice football. Mark Woburn's always been known for, you know, playing good football. And I've been down a couple of times this year and I've been generally impressed. It's just, you know, we've had a couple of little ruts where we've gone on bad runs. But, you know, we're sitting all right at the moment. We're doing better than what I actually expected. So, all in all, it's been okay.
And Lee, Bright say Samuel's come back into the side and certainly played his part for me. He keeps the ball. He can turn players on a sixpence. The biggest criticism for him, from what I'm getting from the fans and message boards, is that a bit of a lack of an end product. Is that something he can develop within the first team, or is it something you've either got or haven't got?
I spoke about this before. I'm not sure if it was on this show or a podcast that I did. But I basically said the same thing must have been about over a year ago now, when he was just breaking through. I said how he had bundles of pace, good strength, gets himself into some great positions, and it just, you know, that final little pass or final ball across the box, he needs to improve on. And, you know, I don't know if he listened or it was put on a message board somewhere, but, you know, I said he needs to get 30 balls a day with a mannequin, go around, knock it past it and just practice your crossing and your final deliveries, because it really does help. You know, they probably got him working on that in training, I would have thought, because he's got a lot of potential there with his pace and his directness. So, yeah, he's another one that's, you know, an exciting prospect we've got. So he's just, you know, if he can continue to, you know, improve and progress, then we've got another good player on our hands.
Yeah, and he's only 21 and he's, you know, he's got great experience brought in from Blackpool. So was that those sort of things, those training things, are those the sort of things you did at that stage in your career?
Yeah, especially at that age, you know, at 20, 21, that's when you do it more, you know, when you get to the age of 26 and 27, you know, some people continue to do it, some don't. I mean, I was one of the ones that, when I got a bit older because of my injuries and my body, I tended to go in a bit early. But especially at that age, at 20, 21, that's when you don't really want to leave the training pitch. You want to stay there as long as you possibly can.
Lee, obviously, it was the first win in eight on the weekend, beating Preston, obviously, in a mini free-for-all themselves. But me and Gareth were saying, you know, not just a professional victory, two goals, clean sheet, but it sort of ticked the boxes in a sense that there were a couple of whispers about Warburton. He doesn't change his style. What do you make of all that? Because you know these rumours, especially in an age of social media, they just spread like wildfire, don't they?
Yeah, listen, we all have our own opinions on it. This is why we love football so much. And sometimes you know, we all see something and you go, well, why has he made that decision? Why is he playing in there? Why, you know, I thought it, you know, probably, what was that game on TV we had? I can't remember who it was against now. About 6 weeks ago, and Beere was playing on the left and then he moved him onto the right. And I think the game before, he was playing in a more central role up at Hull and he tore him apart from the middle of the park. And, you know, for the next three games, he put him out wide. And sometimes you sit there and you think of these decisions, like, have they made that decision? But, you know, they obviously have it in their mind it's going to work for the team on the night. But sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, I generally feel he's they did make the right option at the time of bringing him in. And, you know, I think, you know, not just short term. I think for long term, he'll be our manager. I think he's going to do well.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a big thing for us to kind of just keep with him and stick with him. And, you know, there's no reason not to at the moment. I think I've been really impressed with his start and how he engages with the media. So I think, you know, it's a really, you know, bright appointment for us. One player that has come in to the opposite end of his career from Bright Say Samuel is Mark Pugh. And he won the penalty, whether that was dubious or not, at the weekend. What have you made of his start? I mean, he hasn't played much, but what can he bring to the team?
Yeah, I saw a bit of him early in the season and I was disappointed in him, but you know, I've not seen him recently. I don't know if he was fit then. He looked unfit to me. He played in the cup game against Pompey and he looked like he couldn't run. But whether he's put, you know, extra hard training in and got himself a bit fitter, because he's had quality throughout his career. So, you know, if he, you know, we need that quality really. I mean, he's always been a decent player, but I just don't know if he was the right signing for us at the right time, the way we were sort of going. So that was one of the weirder ones for me. But generally, the signings that he made, have actually done okay. You know, Hugh Gill's done well. Naki Wells has chipped him with his fair share of goals. So you can't, you know, I think in January they're going to give him a little bit to spend. And it'll improve the team. I mean, I was worried start of the season that, you know, we could be in a proper relegation scrap. So as it stands at the moment, you know, they're doing better than what I thought they actually would.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we're talking about these players now. We talk about Bright, we talk about Pugh. And obviously, everyone's talking about Eze. One player we haven't mentioned so far is Ilias Chair. And with those three now in the squad, what does he have to do to win his place back? And can he win his place back with those three perform?
He's another kid with ability. You can see it. He's sharp. He can go past the player without thinking about it. But he's another one. It's just the final ball he needs to brush up on. You know, once they do that, then, you know, you've got serious players there. And if they do brush up on that, then there's going to be big teams watching them, because their other plays, you know, at the moment, you can't really fault it. But when he gets the ball, he's sharp, he cuts in, he cuts outside. He's very difficult to get the ball off because of his sort of low centre of gravity. And if he just improves that little bit more, that little final ball, then again, it's another good player we've got in our hands. He went on loan to Stephen. It showed he can have it against, you know, the big league two centre-halves. He can, you know, he's ready to go. But it's just getting that final delivery, that final pass that him and Bright need to just work on.
I think it'll get there. I think that it reminds me of Eze last year when he was playing under McLaren, and it was a different player, younger player. But he'd gone on loan to Wickham. He tore it up. He scored weldies. Chair did similar at Stevenage. And every time he gets the ball, it's like, shoot. But he actually doesn't get the same time and space in the Championship. As you know, it's a League Two. It's a bit of a different beast in the Championship. On Saturday as well, something very, very special happened in West London. Chelsea, Brentford and Fulham lost and QPR won. As an ex-QPR player and fan, did you ever look at those sort of things after the game?
Not really. Probably just Chelsea. got a lot of Chelsea friends that support Chelsea. So I get a fair bit of stick from them. And I have a couple of Fulham as well. So that was quite a bit of a night down there last Friday when they done us. So I was a bit disappointed in that. But
Move on quickly.
They're losing tonight to Preston. So. And they're down to 10 men, so happy day.
Indeed.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And losing to a Preston side, a QPR just beat, so you just love to see it. Me and Gareth spoke about that at the start. Lee, obviously it was going to be, you know, a transitional first season, 15 new players brought in, financial fair play. They haven't actually spent that much money. You know, Gareth said, look, let's just find our feet this year. But what is the aims and the expectations, realistic ones, for the rest of the season?
I think this season we just got to, you know, I'd be happy with a mid-table finish and establishing a decent enough squad where he's got six or seven that he knows he's going to go with next year. I think if he can get that, obviously we need to get some decent defenders in. I think we're struggling at the back a little bit defensively. Our first clean sheet in a long time the other day. So that's an area he's going to look to improve in. But I think if he can get six or seven together this season that he knows next year he's going to go with for a little charge, that's what we've got to look at doing. And then hopefully with January and the summer window coming up, he can get a few more in where we've got a solid enough team that can challenge for a playoff spot.
And you mentioned January coming up with money to spend. Where would you go and invest, or is there any particular players that you'd go and get?
I think the centre-half got to be our number one target. You know, the loan market's decent. We could go and get one on loan from the Premier League. I think we need a bit of pace at the back. I think we're lacking a bit of pace. Two centre-halves. You know, I've seen a lot this year where a quick forward's getting in behind and we're 3-4 yards off of them. So I think that's going to be the number one position that they're going to be looking for to improve. You know, we're scoring goals, really, with the players we've got. We're nicking goals. It's just we're leaking them at the back. The goalkeeper's fine, I think. I think Joe's just had a little bit of a sticky time with a couple of games, but I think long term he's a more than good enough goalkeeper for us. So yeah, I'd probably say centre half positions.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting January. Lee, really appreciate you coming on. I know you're a busy man. Always good to have you on the QPR fan show. Lee Cook there, just a QPR legend. Good to get his insight about what is going on with the R's this season. Well, we are looking towards the next two games because it is Birmingham and Barnsley, and we're going to be doing a preview because James Jenkinson is joining us next.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio. The Opposition View. On Love Sport.
That's right, it's time for the Opposition View on Love Sport Radio. You are listening to the QPR Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with a range of things podcast, Mr. Gareth Dixon. There is so much for us to talk about. That's exactly what we have been doing where the R's are concerned. We looked at a game with Preston on the weekend. We just heard from legend Lee Cook. Now we go to tomorrow night's fixture. It is a big one. It is Birmingham. And I'm delighted to say James Jenkinson from Birmingham City Fan TV joins us now. James, thank you for coming on and giving us a little bit of your time. Big, big clash tomorrow night. But what have you made of Birmingham's season so far?
In terms of a start to the season, I think that we've made a relatively steady start to the season. Nothing particularly was expected of us to be in and around the playoffs, well, other than the board, who, you know, seem to think that it's a realistic aim. But the fan base seem to think that mid-table is where we should be. And I think that we're hitting those strides quite well. Obviously, 4 points off the playoffs. You know, you can't be disappointed with the start that we've made so far. It's a learning process for the players who are trying to adapt to a new sort of style of philosophy under Pep Guardiola.
And James, I was looking at the stats earlier. QPR don't tend to have really good stats against teams, but the last 10 games we've actually been quite good against you. We've won 6, drawn 2, and you've won 2. But I can't start anywhere apart from that game last season in that 4-3 defeat to us, which was one of those two losses. And we missed a late penalty to equalise. Were you at the game? Do you remember the game?
Yes, I was certainly at the game, yes. it was quite a memorable one, to be honest. We sat there at 4-0 at half-time, and I was thinking, God, we're never 4-0 up at half-time. I can't remember the last game we actually won 4-0. I was counting my blessings, and I was saying to the people I was there with, I said, you know, don't write QPR off. You know, that was a bad first half for them. And I knew it as soon as the first goal went in that, obviously, there was an onslaught coming and we just kind of collapsed. And we really rode our luck to get anything from that game because it could have been 5-4 in the end, if we're honest. So it was one of those games. And yeah, like you say, QPR have got an excellent record against Birmingham. And obviously, it doesn't bode well, you know, for tomorrow. Every time that QPR seems to come to St Andrews recently, they seem to pick up, you know, if not a point, definitely 3 points. So confidence is a bit split for tomorrow. But I know that QPR aren't on the best run, other than last week's game against Preston. So, you know, it's one of those where does form come into it or does luck perceive us?
Well, after that 4-3 defeat last year, the reverse fixture was 0-0. So hopefully we'll have a little bit more excitement tomorrow night.
Definitely.
And Lee Camp was the keeper, the former QPR keeper that saved that penalty. He's not currently in the team, is he?
No, he's not. Lee Camp's one of those that sort of divides opinions. I know that while he was at QPR, he was relatively controversial, but at the same time the fans seem to enjoy him, so I think it's kind of the same at Birmingham. Last season he had a mistake or two in him, but obviously saved the penalty at QPR, so made himself a hero a few times. But this season he's cost us more points than he's won. The fans grew tired of it. They seemed to lose faith in him, really, and the calls for him to be changed were made. Everybody thought that David Stockdale would come back in, obviously a big earner at the club recently. But Pep Clotet decided to go with young Connell Truman, who's come in and done absolutely fantastically. I don't think he's actually kept a clean sheet since he's been in, but some of the saves he's made to obviously keep us in games, and we haven't actually lost since he's come into the team, so it does bode quite well for him. Yeah, well, that's it, I've jinxed it now. I've put it to him now. But yeah, he's a fantastic young keeper, and obviously I feel a bit for Campy sitting on the bench, because, you know, I was a favourite of his, but yeah, it was one of those, it was time for him to be dropped, I think. You know, he's like any other player, he's not invincible.
And James, just quickly away from the game, obviously QPR are no strangers to having to share their ground. You're doing that with Coventry this year. What has that been like?
Obviously, if I'm honest, we haven't actually seen much difference. I think the main concern was going to be the pitch. It was weird that they decided to get double the sort of fixture schedule on the pitch at the same time as trying to transition to a passing style of football. So obviously there was concerns around, obviously now Christmas time, that the pitch would cut up. And in all credit to the ground staff, they've done a fantastic job. The pitch looks in immaculate condition every week. We don't really see anything of Coventry's around the stadium, nothing in the club shop really. So I do feel for Coventry a little bit, because it must be like an away game every game at the minute. So, it's one of those, isn't it? The club are benefiting off it, revenue-wise, and obviously we're helping out, you know, a neighbour in the meantime. It's not their fault, so obviously anything that we can do to help them out, it's a bonus, really.
And your last game out against those fake hoops in Berkshire, Reading, it was 3-2. It looked very exciting, but it looks like you picked up a couple of knocks in that game. Are they gonna affect tomorrow? And they gonna be back?
No, neither of them will be back. Jake Clark-Salter, I believe, dislocated a shoulder. And obviously, on loan from Chelsea, he's come in and done really well. Harley Deem was previously suspended for 3 games. Clark-Salter had come in to partner Mark Roberts. Mark Roberts has then picked up an injury. So Dean's come back in. And Clark-Salter had been immense recently, to be fair to him. And it's a big loss, but, you know, they'll try and draft him. Wes Harding, who's naturally a right-back, but he will play at centre-back tomorrow. And Dan Crowley is the biggest miss. He's set to miss it as well for a couple of weeks with a tight hamstring. I would say he's been our best player this season. It was a bargain from, I think it was Willem in Holland. It cost us just under £1 million.
How is the former Arsenal man getting on? He's making an impression?
Yeah, no, he's absolutely fantastic. I would say a Premier League player in the waiting. I'd be surprised if he's still with us next season. Bags of ability, a couple of assists to his name. If we had a little bit more quality up front, he'd have double figures in assists. He's an incredibly technical player. But I think that we've got a lot of ability that we're waiting to come in the wings, and obviously that showed on Saturday when the changes were made, when Crowley had to go off, that the players still stepped up and did the job that was required.
Sorry about that, James. Charlie forgot it's a QPR fan show, not an Arsenal conversation. But we'll bring it back to the Championship. We've got identical records, even in goals conceded, although it's -7 to us, -4 to you. What are your hopes and expectations for the season with that record with us? Because we aren't that optimistic. We're happy with mid-table. Do you hope for bigger?
I mean, going off what the board want playoffs, so obviously can we look at that? I mean, we're 4 points off. Realistically, I would say no. But at the same time, the rumours being that the board are going to throw up, you know, a fair whack of money in January at a top striker and a couple of forward players to try and, you know, get us over the line, as to speak, in May. There was rumours that Naki Wells could be going to Birmingham for £6 million. Obviously, he's currently on loan at QPR from Burnley. So that was a player that I know that's been thrown around, but Dwight Gale's another name that's been thrown around. But that one looks unrealistic. So I would say that I'm happy where I am as a realistic fan, but I know a lot of fans say that playoffs is realistic and playoffs is an aim for us. So it's a hard one to call. I would go anything from the top half and I'd be happy.
£6 million for Wells. Is Redknapp back? He's out of contract in the summer.
I thought it was a bit of a bargain, but some Blues fans seem to think not, but there you go.
There you go. James, I have to put you on the spot. What's your score prediction then for tomorrow night?
I know QPR have struggled to keep clean sheets this season.
Not on the weekend. You're only as good as your last game, James?
Yes, absolutely. And that's it. I'm just new that they keep a clean sheet ahead of that game this weekend. So I think it's set up for goals tomorrow, if I'm honest. We seem to have found a bit of a scoring touch recently. I know QPR are excellent going forward. 25 goals in between, I think it's Wells, Eze, and and Hugel. So I'm going to go with a high-scoring game. I'm going to go with a 3-2 to Birmingham. I think QPR are going to cause so many problems tomorrow, especially, you know, Eze and Wells. But, you know, I think that if we can get into our stride and get Bellingham on the ball, then... yeah, he can make things happen, and we could be in for an exciting game.
Yeah, in for an exciting game. It seems it's 5-goal thriller. James, really appreciate you coming on. James Jenkinson there from Birmingham City Fan TV. Always a pleasure to have James on and hear his thoughts. Well, he was obviously predicting his team to get the win. Gareth, though, they did get a clean sheet. He is predicting goals. What say you?
My prediction is 2-1 to QPR.
Had to be.
I'm going, so, you know.
Yeah.
Throw that out there. Making the away game.
Yeah, finally. Where will this game be won and lost?
City Ground, Birmingham.
Oh, all right.
Boom, boom. I think if we do what we did on Saturday, get the balls to their half and play, I'm hoping we'll have too much for them. So I think it will be get it up to the front three, use the Hugo up there if we need him as the battering ram. And, yeah, do what we did.
That's it. They've got a stick there. They've finally found the special ingredient, the antidote. Can they keep that going out and go on a run like they did earlier on in the season? Well, next we'll be doing a little bit of QPR housekeeping with some other little bits of news.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and the man himself, Gareth Dixon from the Range of Things podcast. He's the lone representative. He is here, Gareth Dixon, Chaz and Gaz Show, every Tuesday, 9 to 10 o'clock.
Paddy's lost it.
I was going to go. I was thinking, where can I go? What can I take with me? I had lions, I had bars, I had everything. Flames.
No, you're fire. Turn in the booth.
Fire in the booth. What? I don't know where to go now.
No.
But we're going to do a little bit of QPR housekeeping. I'm going to really try to be professional. We're going to do a little bit of QPR housekeeping. Still time for you to have your say tonight. Tweet us at Lovesport Radio. Gareth's lost it as well. 0208 7020 558. But there has been some big news, and this is the QPR Fan Show, and Gav always reminds us of that. And you say, don't talk about Arsenal, don't bring in some stuff.
Especially Arsenal.
But there's been a little bit of a QPR Arsenal link today, hasn't there?
There has, but...
it's nonsense.
Do you reckon?
Come on.
Paulo Sousa.
Come on.
Kaiser Sousa to Arsenal. Why not? He's a Bordeaux. You like a bit of the old French down in or up in North London.
Would you have him back at QPR?
I don't think he's going to come back from Bordeaux to QPR. Would I have him back? Maybe not. I know Ainsworth is the next manager in waiting for me.
Right.
If he doesn't.
But all right, was he a good manager then? I changed my question.
He was a manager under Flavio Briatore. He had Flavio Briatore saying, bring on Mon. And it was on the 4-year plan. And
good impression.
Thanks. I don't know who. But he was in a threat of sack all the time. And he was at QPR at a bad time. Went to Swansea, did all right. Went to Leicester, did all right. Went to Basel, did very, very well, and other places. He's a good manager.
Is he an elite manager?
What? So you're talking in an Arsenal perspective now, aren't you?
No.
Not a QPR perspective
No, but this is the link, isn't it? I mean, they're saying that he's linked with Arsenal. He's been approached, he's been spoken to.
I don't know what his record is at Bordeaux. I don't know how well Bordeaux do.
It's him or Mark Hughes anyway. Someone's going to get it. Maybe Redknapp.
He's an Arsenal fan, apparently, isn't he?
He is an Arsenal fan, 100%.
From Stepney.
other news, because, you know, it's all the QPR links, the connections tonight. Freeman finally getting a few games at Sheffield United.
I didn't add that, so I didn't know that.
QPR Fan Show, right?
Gav must have added that.
Well,
he has played for Sheffield United.
Not only did
not
Gav
Freeman,
add
not Gav.
It, yeah.
Well, he just dropped it.
He does
it,
play
really,
football
he?
On a Wednesday. Gav added it, and he said that...
No, Sheffield United, not Wednesday. Ching. By the way, you missed your chance to get me back because, by the way, Birmingham City don't play at the City Ground, they play at St Andrews.
Did I say the City Ground?
No, I did.
Oh, right.
You said, where's it going to be won and lost? And I said the City Ground, Birmingham. And you missed
you
it.
Did.
I set you up.
Do you know why?
You always pinged me and you didn't get it.
Do you know why? Because I was probably...
I was fishing.
No, you weren't. You got that wrong. You didn't mean to do that.
Well, you didn't even notice it.
No, I didn't.
There you go. So how do you know I got it wrong on purpose? Well, not on purpose.
Of course it wasn't purpose. On purpose.
You were calling it porpoise. Yeah.
Of course it wasn't on purpose. You'd never, ever give me that chance. You'd never give me a free hit. Gav did say, though, he made the running order better because clearly you don't know your stuff.
Yeah,
he
where
carried
is he?
You in that quiz
Ghost
that
Gav,
night.
It's like Mario Kart when you race yourself.
Yeah, he turns up now and again. Yeah, always looking for that better time trial. I loved that game on GameCube. Brilliant. I was
Where's it gone?
Yeah, where has
Gav,
it
we gone? We'd be remiss of us to not talk about the vote. The big vote. Well, you look nervous now, aren't you?
What big vote?
The vote. Jacqueline Josser.
Exactly. It ended.
Get my
she
vote.
Won.
There you go.
Did you vote?
What vote were you talking about or thinking about?
No, I was thinking about X Factor because that ended as well.
You should go on X Factor after that jingle.
Ooh, I definitely
X Factor the professionals.
I'd smash it.
What about the show?
You voted for Jack?
All day. Every day.
Oh, I felt for Andy. Deserved it.
Yeah.
Deserved it. Let's talk a little bit about Barnsley before Schmeichel. Any of us are not allowed to come back in the studio ever again.
Yeah.
Because...
what are we doing now?
You're playing Birmingham tomorrow night. They won 3-2. They beat Reading. Now it's Barnsley on the weekend. They lost 3-2. They also have a new manager. Something maybe not of a new manager, Bance. I hope you know a little bit about Barnsley because you didn't know anything about Freeman. So they are down there, but hopefully QPR get the result tomorrow night. They can kick on. They beat Preston. What are you making of the challenge Barnsley present?
Don't know, but all these comments, I think my cab's here. My Uber's not here, but all these arrows and barbs.
No Ubers anymore.
Barnsley, no Ubers. Barnsley, I think... another team that QPR have got a very good record against. Well, I don't think that's actually fact. In the last 10 games, we've won 8, drawn 1 and lost 1. 4.22. What's the average? Work it out. 2.2. There you go. Don't sit back down. Against 9, 3 away wins at Oakwell. There you go. Who doesn't know their stuff? Boom. Back at you.
Well, Gav done it. It's on the back of a sheet for
oh,
you.
Yeah, Gav did do that. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So
he actually didn't do that. I'm the only stato in the group.
You didn't do that.
Yes, so I did.
Julian or Gavin done that.
Julian's counting his pennies somewhere. He's not,
exactly. He's a stat man.
Time.
He done that. He knows. He counts
money.
To a fine
hating
art.
Welsh and counting money. That's Julian's hobbies. So puts it on his profile.
We're looking at this Birmingham game. We're looking at the Barnsley game. You know. Great history there, you know, Birmingham, same record, but they're both taking in the last win, you know, so they both have confidence. But if we're talking maybe 6 points from six here, that will mean 9 points from nine. And then do we
it's a bit
again,
scary.
Yeah, do we again do what scary. We've done where we go, oh, QPR, maybe they are. Now they've found it, you know, this diamond formation, isn't it fantastic? Mark Warburton changing his
You're not
ways.
Going to break in a song again here, are you?
I was just thinking.
Okay, you were getting that way, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I was.
Busta Rhymes. I think that... It's a little, not scary. Listen, I want them to go and smash Birmingham. I want to go smash Barnsley. I want to get playoffs, of course, but I want
Do
to...
Do you, though, this year? Because you don't want to run before you can walk.
Of course you want to get playoffs.
Well, it's not always the way, because you said this year is about the first. Sometimes things
yeah,
can come a little
playoffs.
Bit too soon.
You want? I want playoffs. Why? Would,
okay, yeah.
I mean, Bobby Zamora Day, Wembley. Yeah, it's the greatest day of my life after my four children and my three weddings. But other than that...
Three?
Nah, two. I couldn't afford the third one. Yeah. But other than that, I think that...
Still married to the second one.
She's listening. Lawyers are listening. Well, lawyers are listening. I'm not. But I'm thinking that, yeah, you want playoffs, didn't you? I think that... You know, that sort of stage for someone like Eze and, you know, those likes of that. Yeah, every fan that's looking. Birmingham, James, he wants playoffs. So you want to get in the... West Brom and Leeds have won the league, right? No, there's nothing happening other than that.
I don't think
my
that.
My Fulham
when
mate
you
was
say
giving
that.
Me grief on Twitter about it. West Brom and Leeds are first and second. No way is anyone else getting
All right,
anywhere close.
Let's talk about that then, because I genuinely
don't
know.
Talk to me in May about it.
You're telling me that in December, the middle of December, and we're not halfway through the championship yet,
listen,
that those two spots, those listen. Two teams will not change hands once in a league that is so tight, in a league that is so close.
No,
knit,
it will change hands.
You know, ups and downs.
It
Do you
will.
Think those
no,
two,
no, it will change
You just
change
said
hands.
Those two teams
Yeah, Leeds will go top and West Brom will go second and West Brom will go top and Leeds will go
no,
second.
No, but that's it. So those two teams will be one and two in
yep.
any order.
No shadow of a doubt. Yep.
So no team can break that now.
No Fulham, Fulham are losing
yeah.
tonight. Fulham lost to Hull. They lost today. Fantastic. Fulham lost to Hull. Fulham
Brentford.
Lost to Stoke. Brentford what? They didn't play Brentford yet. They're playing Brentford the weekend. Brentford on a good run, and they are the one. They're not going to get top two.
Well, they lost on the weekend.
They're not consistent enough. You know, Leeds and West Brom are going to be consistent. That Ben White at Leeds, best centre half. You know, they have. Bielsa's got a year's experience. Mm. Don't look away from them. QPR fan show.
I know, but I'm just... And we're talking
league.
About the championship, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're just saying to me that that's not going to change. I don't think you
well,
can say
on.
That in December.
Well, I can, I did.
But I can't offer you... No, but I mean, we can't say for sure. I can't offer you a team
Nothing
who I think...
Nothing for sure. Two sure things in life.
Well, you're just changing it now.
Changing
you're just
what?
Winding me up. Now you're going, nothing for sure.
Death and taxes. Death and taxes until we've got licence.
This hour's tough for me. I'm not going to lie.
That's 15 minutes is even hardest, mate. Yeah. I tell you.
All right, so it's not changing. Are those playoff teams changing?
Oh, yeah, come on. What am I a fool?
Well, I don't know. Well,
QPR are going to break it. No, yeah, of course the playoff teams have changed. There's any number of teams that could go on a run. I haven't even looked at the league in a while on QPR. You know, I don't need to look at the league.
Well, you always tell me, 14th is good. Now you're going, I've got hope for playoffs.
No, there's a hope, right? There's a heart.
There is a hope.
You know, it's Nick coming soon, yeah. Hollywood. I think there is a hope. Everybody wants to get in the playoffs. Everyone wants to get in the playoffs. You're laughing. I'm not laughing.
Everybody.
He started again. If you're listening, people. Everyone wants to get in the playoffs. You're not going to get there. You just want to get there. But I don't hope to finish in 14th. I think we might finish anywhere between 8th and 14th. I don't hope to finish in 14th. Who hopes to finish in 14th? Unless you enjoy the darker things of life and you want to be there. Because you're losing a lot of games to finish in 14th, and we've had that. I would like us to finish in the playoffs. Yes. Is that a crazy thing to say?
All right, we're going to need new players possibly in January. We'll be talking of transfer additions in on the next few shows because the January is going to be manic. But Gary Penrice leaving the club, that is big news, because is this a new direction for player recruitment, or was this another Gavin addition?
No, this was, you've just read my note word for word, so well done, you know, for doing that. There is a little conversation here about Penrice and him leaving and what that means for player recruitment. Penrice is supposed to be one of the best in the business at getting players in. He's very well known for it. He's been in a couple of books about scouting, and Holloway brought him in, and Les has been around the club and stuff. So it's just a bit weird. He's gone to pursue new opportunities, was the statement. So
where?
I don't know. Who knows? Lidl? I don't know. What's he doing? Franchising somewhere? But it's an interesting one, because I think that Les and Mark Warburton have got their ideas on players and bringing players in. Mm. They've obviously got scouts in the youth set up in terms of Ramsey and Hall and their other scouting system. It was weird that Penrice has left when he did, how he did, what was said. And Andy Belk, who's been at the club for a long time, as I think he came in as a first team analyst, is now heading some of that up. So there has been some sort of change. You never get the full truth. There's something's happened there. So it'll be interesting in terms of what that means with player recruitment. I don't know how he was involved in Freeman, for instance. Penrice got him for 400 grand and sold him for 5 million.
Great business.
You know, it was for Rangers at the time. It was the first player we'd sold for profit like that for a long time. But, you know, this is for the fifth time I've said to keep our franchise. But in all seriousness, obviously we got a bit of news tonight about Jim Smith, one of our former managers, passing away, sadly. Just like to take a moment just to acknowledge Jim Smith and his family, you know, at a difficult time for their loss. But, yeah, QPR manager in the 80s and more better known for his time at Derby. And we were unfortunate for the third appearance at Wembley in 85 or 86 when we lost to Oxford 3-0, which is former club. So, but, you know, football goes beyond that. And, all the best and best wishes to him and his family. So.
Yeah, massively. I think it's poignant that we end on that and speak about that, because obviously it was just breaking out as we were coming on, and we didn't really cover it, but we have spoken a little bit about here. What are your fondest memories of his time QPR?
Well, Gavin Julian will remember him as a manager because they were going to games a little bit before me. I remember him being the manager when the QPR season videos I used to get from my brother, and him being involved in a few transfers at the time. And that was probably one of my earliest recollections of QPR. And I can't remember who Jim Smith was replaced by. Was it Trevor Francis? But yeah, he was the first manager, I think 88, 89, that I wasn't there. First game was 91, but they, on the videos, he was there, and he was signing all these players and all the old 80s graphics on this VHS used to get at the end of the year. So, yeah, not many memories, but that was the one I had of when I first started getting a connection with QPR and watching videos, because I was, nothing else to do at the time.
Yeah, well, definitely the Ranger things and Love Sport Radio send out their thoughts to Jim Smith's family and friends, sadly passing away today. Former QPR fans... former QPR manager, really, really sad news there. This has been the QPR Fan Show. We will be here at the same time as we are every week, every Tuesday, 9 to 10, to talk about the Barnsley and Birmingham games and everything else that does surround it. We will see you next week.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword LoveSport.